It's good to see one here this morning. And I was teasing the men before services, and I told them that this was my last day. If I didn't get a lesson in today, that I was going to lose my license. But of course, we know we don't have license, but a lot of denominational preachers are ordained licensed preachers. They have license. I want us to talk about a worship that is acceptable to God. The book of Malachi, I'm not going to turn there and read, but pretty well that whole book talks about God's disgust with Israel. And on one occasion he said, would that someone would close the doors. In other words, you'd be better off if the doors were just closed and you didn't go through the motion of worshiping God. On another occasion he said, offer it to your governor. In other words, what you're offering to me, offer it to your governor. Would he accept it? And so they had problems adhering to the teaching of God's word. And here Jesus said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as is written, this people honors me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And so he said, their heart's not in it. So we ought to ask ourselves that question. Is my worship acceptable to God? When I have completed a service like this, will God be pleased with it? Or am I going through the motion like the Israelites did? And would he say, behold, someone, you know, if they just close the door? And that's something that we need to think about. And in our study this morning, I hope that you'll study along with me and see some of the things that are there. I want to know that my worship is acceptable to God. Because if it isn't, I'm wasting my time. I might as well be somewhere on the river fishing or something else if my worship service is not acceptable to God. It hasn't profited me one thing. First of all, I want to say to us, if your worship is not a willing worship, it's not acceptable. You can't force worship on a person. You know, we make our children, and rightfully so, attend services. But when they get to a certain age, you can't force worship on those children. We're going to have to instill within them that love and that desire to worship God. It can't be forced on them. It has to be a willing worship. In Psalms, the 22nd chapter in verse 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Could you say that about yourself? I was glad when Sunday morning rolled around and I could come and be in the worship service of God. In the first Psalm, verses 1 and 2, blessed is a man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. I'm not quoting that right, so let me turn there and read it. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Here's a person that would be, as the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. When Paul wrote to the second letter to the church at Corinth, and this was concerning giving, the churches of Macedonia being an example to them. But in the 8th chapter and verse 12, he said, if there first be a willing mind, it is acceptable unto God. If there first be a willing mind, it's acceptable. Not according to what a man has, but according to what he hath not. And so whether I'm talking about my giving, my attendance, or whatever it is, there has to be that willing mind, and I have to be the one that says, I was glad when I had the opportunity to go and worship God. And that's what we need to instill within the hearts and minds of our children. Not that it's being forced on them, but they're doing it because they have the opportunity and they appreciate what God has done for them. I must show the proper reverence for God and for His Word. If my worship service is, if my worship is going to be acceptable. You know, we can be irreverent in many different ways. We can have a sarcastic attitude, and we're not really paying attention to what we're doing or what we're saying or what's being said. But the person who is worshiping God acceptably has a great reverence for God and for His Word. Look with me, if you will, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us serve God with reverence and with godly fear. In John, the 4th chapter, Jesus pointed out the type of worship that is acceptable, verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and he that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, there's all kind of ideas. Is he talking about in the Holy Spirit? Is he talking about that you'd have to have the gift of the Holy Spirit to worship? No. Every one of us has the responsibility to worship God in spirit and in truth. We know what the truth is. John 17:17 said, sanctify them through the truth, thy word is truth. But if we are in the proper mind, the frame of mind, if we have that reverence and we're coming before God to listen to His Word, to study His Word, to make application of that Word, then we are in the proper frame of mind and the proper spirit to serve God and for that service to be acceptable in the sight of God. In Habakkuk, the 2nd chapter and verse 20, and the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silent before Him. And so it is a time that we've come together to worship God. And we're in His presence. And we should be concentrating on what's being taught and what is being said. Our mind shouldn't be off somewhere else, wondering about this or that or the other. And so if we do not have the proper reverence for God and for His Word, He's not going to be pleased with our worship. And He'd say, offer it to your governor. See if he'll accept it. That's not accepted worship or acceptable worship. It must be an orderly worship. I remember I held a meeting back in the 60s at Sarah Land, Alabama. And they had kids. The bathrooms evidently was on the front of the building. And they were continuously going back and forth. And the preacher got up. I told him, I said, he must be ready to move. He said, I wish you parents would see to it that your children went to the bathroom before they came into the service and disrupted things running back and forth to the bathroom. But if you think about it, you know, we can have a disorderly worship service. People can be doing this or that or the other, or children running to and fro and not behaving themselves as they should. And that interferes with everyone that's trying to concentrate and worship God in spirit and in truth. And so it has to be an orderly worship. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, the 14th chapter, of course, he's talking about them claiming that they had gifts of the Holy Spirit and getting up and different ones. One had a prayer and another had a song and this and that and the other. But he points out to them, the 14th chapter in verse 33, he said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God's not the source of confusion. So He doesn't give conflicting doctrines and things that would cause us to be confused. And then in verse 40, He said, let all things be done decently and in order. And so when we come together to worship God, it ought to be an orderly assembly. We ought to be sure that we have that reverence and that godly fear that we ought to have, and everything should be done in order. The fourth thing I want to talk about is humility. In Psalms 51 in verse 3, the psalmist said, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. We talked about a little bit this morning, the grace of God. How He loved us enough to send His Son into this world to suffer and to die for us. When I think that I could be washed and cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, and be acceptable in His sight, that ought to make me so humble. That ought to make me feel so blessed that God's love reaches even me. And so, if we come in with a haughty spirit, lifted up in a self-righteous attitude, then our worship is not going to be acceptable to God. Turn with me over to Luke, the 18th chapter. We'll begin with verse 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So if our attitude is such that we are better than others, if we do not have the humility that we ought to have, our worship is not going to be accepted. Look at James, the 4th chapter and verse 10. James 4 and verse 10. I'm over here in Peter. I got to get back to James. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. Let God lift you up. He's the one that will lift you up. Look at 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And so when I come into the worship service, do I look around and say, God, I think I'm not like these people. I'm a pretty good fella. I worship you every week. I try to give back a portion of that which you've blessed me with. I try to speak good to other people of your word. Is that more than I ought to be doing? Or does that make me, lift me up any above anyone else? No. And so again, humility is important. It is essential, if you will, to acceptable worship. The individual, not the individual for the congregation. And sometimes we may look at someone else and pass an opinion, but I'm here to worship God for myself, not for someone else. There's no way that I can worship for you or you can worship for me. And so my thoughts and my prayer should be, help me to be what I need to be, and help me to get out of this lesson what I ought to get out of it. Not that someone else needs to be listening to that. That may be true. But that's not going to contribute to my acceptable worship in the sight of God. Look at Romans, the 12th chapter. Verses 1 through 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Let me think about myself and concentrate on my needs and be as humble as I possibly can in trying to serve God. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 3-5. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And I want us to keep that in mind, that each one of us will answer for his or herself. And so my worship is for me, to my God, and not for someone else. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 10 and 12, Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. I will answer for the way that I've worshipped and for the service that I've rendered in the kingdom of God. Last in our study, I want us to think about purity. If we are not pure in our heart and mind, our worship service is not acceptable to God. And so we must always work on that to be what God would have us to be. In Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Our thinking should be pure. We are not to be thinking evil thoughts. We ought not to be thinking things that are of the world. When we are in worship service to God, we ought to be thinking about pure things. Things that will build us up spiritually and will help us to be the example that we ought to be for others. 2 Timothy 2. And verse 22. Now, let me get back over here where flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's the type of people that we want to associate ourselves with. And that's the type of people that we would like to sit down and worship our God with. Those that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Has our service this morning, our worship service, been acceptable to God? if any of these things that we talked about are missing. It hasn't been. But this, thanks be to God, we can always work on our shortcomings and things that we may be thinking or things that we may be doing, we can always change. And we can seek to worship God in spirit and in truth and to be pleasing in His sight. Not to have Him say, I wish that they just close the doors. That's a sad thing to think. When the people of God, when God looked at them, He said, you know, I wish somebody just closed the doors. Your worship, your sacrifices is not acceptable. You're not giving to me the best that you have. You're offering me the lame, the blind, the stolen, the sick. I don't want that. I'm not going to have it. And so there's a lesson in that for us. Before we close, let me say this. If you're here this morning and you know that your life is not what it ought to be, if you've done things and said things that you ought not to, don't take a chance with your soul. That's the most precious thing that you have. This life will soon pass away, but your soul will live on, either in heaven or hell. And so, you need to be concerned about that. If you need the prayers of the church in your behalf, then the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Be humble yourself and ask for forgiveness and ask the brethren to pray with you and for you. Or if you hear and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you're lost. There's no other way of saying it, but you're lost. And should death come today, then there is no hope beyond this life. What you're going to do, you've got to do it while you have the time and opportunity while you're still living. So if you're subject in any way to the Savior's invitation, will you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?